Thank you very much. This insect is genus species name Nicias wakeucola, described in 1982, fairly recently, by Ashlock and Gagne. It's named the wakeu bug. Wakeu is Hawaiian for summit, the summit bug. It's in the family Lygiid, normally known as seed bugs, tribe Orsilinae, and genus Nicias. This is a pretty diverse genus. It's worldwide distributed. Many pests, some serious agricultural pests, mostly just occasional pests. In Hawaii, has a full quarter of the genus of the world with 26 endemic Hawaiian species. The wakeu bug is the only flightless obligate scavenger, definitely in the genus. I'm pretty sure in the family, although if there are any heteropterists here, please inform me otherwise after the reorganization of Lygiidae. Because this is a mainland talk, I have to indicate that this is in Hawaii, on the Big Island you can see by the red square. It's only found on the summit of Mauna Kea, the tallest island mountain. Within its range, you can see here indicated, if this works, the lighter substrate is an indication where this mountain was glaciated. So this is glacial till, where the glacier slid down the mountain and actually ground up the rock tephra. The wakeu bug itself occurs above 11,500 feet, up to the summit of almost 14,000 feet. And even within that, the bugs are only found on cinder cones. Google Earth actually has the best image of this because GIS maps are kind of not color accurate. And these red and brown areas indicate the rock type where the bugs scavenge. To get a better view of that, and just at kind of the level of detail that you need to find these insects, you can see in the upper picture, the glacial till is a flat zone that's been crushed, and the cinder cones themselves are up to about 500 feet elevation individually, and the bugs are only found on those cinder cones. In this rock substrate, you can see kind of a size classification on the left, and just to be able to see, it's kind of like a fractal image. Very close up, the bugs are only about a half a centimeter long. They scavenge within this thick 8 to 12 inch zone of large rock tephra that it hasn't been ground to a powder by the glaciers. Why this is a controversial bug is that it's a candidate endangered species. It's been listed for almost 10 years now. And it has a very limited range. You saw it was only on those cinder cones above 11,500 feet. And habitat threats include tourism at the summit. And you can see here, Mauna Kea is one of the best places in the world for astronomy, for building telescopes. So there is habitat destruction and alteration because of that. And doubled, of course, low populations by this extreme habitat environment, very high fluctuations in populations. So whatever's there can occasionally be disturbed. Another reason why this is one of those very unique insects, it's a flightless scavenger. You can see it's micropterous, very reduced wings. This is an adult female. It scavenges only on Aeolian deposited insects, insects that are either fly on their own power up into the wind column or are swept up from the grasslands and forests down below at sea level up to 9,000 feet where there's still vegetation. The insects then go up into the wind column. The inversion layer drops them down at the top of the mountain, so they feed exclusively on other insects that are deposited that way. The rock tephra environment is very hostile. It's very dry. The only water is available as mist or winter snow. And within a day, this is just kind of an image of how variable the temperature is at the surface. The heat input is by solar radiation. There's no clouds up that high. So even though the air temperature can be 0 degrees or a little bit lower at night, the rock surface can be 100 degrees up to 108 is what I've recorded. So the bugs will go up and down within that rock tephra of 8 inches to thermoregulate. So very little is actually known about this insect, even though it is a candidate endangered species. So there have been lots of management decisions made with very little information. So the goal of this part of my PhD project is to create a life table. And this is just a great quote that sums it up. Even basic data for estimating birth rates, death rates, rates of population increase and habitat occupation is often lacking, it is essential for developing effective, reliable recovery and restoration plans. So this is just a textbook, Foundations of Restoration Ecology. And it sums it up nicely that often this data is lacking, especially for very rare creatures, especially insects. So what I've done is developed the first lab colony of this insect from field collections 4 times over the past 2 years. My colony is actually held at a day-night cycle of 14 hours of daylight, nights for 10, at about 28 degrees Celsius. The colonies have been fed Drosophila melanogaster from a standard colony that we have, and other miscellaneous insects. The actual experimental design is 8 temperature regimes, a low dual temperature that kind of is their average conditions in the wild, 24 degrees during the day, 11 at night, then 22 to 32 degrees Celsius, and another high-ish dual temperature condition. We checked everything for molts and deaths and fed and misted with water daily. And within a trial, we paired those adults to get the fecundity data later after we count the hatched and unhatched eggs. The first results we have were actually these nymphs were actually not described in scientific literature. So we actually got to follow and track immature stages. There are 5 confirmed instars. And you can see that at the low temperatures, the dual condition, 24 day, 11 at night, just like all insects, took the longest time to mature. Fastest maturation was at high temperatures, although you can see there was a lot of mortality at these constant conditions, 30 and 32 degrees. They actually did quite well at a dual condition, actually developed faster than their lower temperature, 26 degrees. Just inverse that relationship using the constant temperatures, we get a typical growth rate, just a linear regression, their minimum developmental threshold of 15.3 degrees. The adults, the oldest insect we had in captivity in the adult stage was 211 days at that colder dual temperature cycle. There's actually not very good statistical significance through this, but that's fine. There's actually a lot of death in these conditions. But average, the adults live about 30 days. What is actually really interesting was eggs were only laid and hatched in the middle conditions and this higher dual condition. So even at 32 degrees, the adults didn't live long enough to actually reproduce. So we had about 15 days for the first eggs to hatch in captivity. Stack that all together and you get an average lifespan, generation time in these central conditions where eggs actually hatched of about 80 days. The oldest individual we had in captivity from nymph to adult was 280 days. So if you think to the mountain itself, an adult unmated male can actually last a long time, probably maybe even longer than this, depending on what the conditions are, as kind of a maximum last through the year, and maybe you can find a female in that time. Even more information, average total eggs laid and their hatch success, get about 70 eggs laid per female in the central and 26, 28 degree conditions. But this was pretty variable. The most eggs I saw laid was about 150 eggs for one female, which sounds like a lot unless you compare it to other insects, and especially other Lygeids and Nicias. We had about a 40 to 50% hatch rate, so that's why these are a lot lower. We had eggs laid in the lower dual temperature condition, but nothing hatched. Stacking all this together again, we get a survivorship curve. Think of bug performance as the area under the curve. The hotter and lower conditions did not have a full generation. So you can see in these conditions that I X'd out in red, the higher temperatures, bugs did not survive. Lower temperatures did not reproduce. The middle conditions are the only bugs that survived. As long as you can make it through the egg stage and maybe the first instar, it looks like you can survive to mate. All that gets pulled together for a life table. Net reproductive rate, shown in number of females per female, from our captive colony was quite low at 24 degrees, and the best performance was at this dual condition, 32 degrees during the day, 26 at night. Compare this reproductive rate to a pest species, Nicias vinitor, and you see how little these bugs were reproducing. Another thing, the intrinsic rate of increase, very low. Generation time, assuming this is kind of an underestimate, is actually about equivalent to other Nicias. Conclusions are, wakeyu bugs have a very low reproductive output. And I have to put in this next thing, wakeyu bugs do not require constant low temperatures. That's what was described before. They thrive in 0 degrees because that was the air temperature where they were found, but nobody really looked at the microhabitat. And the optimal performance is actually never found in the wild. So I have one more temperature condition that I'm working on to actually get some external validity, but it's still very interesting that they can survive in warmer temperatures. And active thermoregulation is obviously necessary in that microhabitat for them to survive. We've already discussed this with the Office of Mauna Kea Management to show that the bugs themselves need a full habitat protection, not just smaller areas where you find them most regularly. I'd like to thank funding and lots of people that helped, especially the two undergrads, Abigail and Celeste. And if I have time for questions, I'll take them.
We have time for one long question or two short questions.
Go ahead.
Yeah,
the question was, are there predators or parasitoids? A lot of the aeolian drift that falls out of the sky are parasites, but in Hawaii, those are usually not adapted to winter cycle. So we've never really seen live parasites or parasitoids. There are predators. There's an endemic big-eyed wolf spider up on Mauna Kea, and that is definitely a predator because we find them in our traps. But there's really only 12 to 16 other arthropods up there. So it's a very, very simple system.
Thank you.
Thank you.